Today, we are going to start a new sermon series. And this series is based on the promises of God. And we could do a series on this for months, maybe even years, really, if we wanted to. But there's a few things that I want to go over, and my prayer is that it gives all of us some hope and some direction for where God wants us in life. And where God, you know, God already sees our future. So how do we get to partake in the future he has for us? And then also, maybe you have some questions that you've always wondered about, or questions about your own life, or things about the Bible that maybe you've been afraid to ask. Hopefully, those things can get answered. But just for a little bit of trivia, when it comes to God's promises, it was once said, and I can't remember how many years ago, a long time ago, but it was said that there was 30,000 promises of God in the Bible. 30,000. Well, this gentleman up in Canada by the name of Everett Storms, he was a teacher, a professor, or something like that. He was in education. He thought that number was a bit high because he had already known that there was 33,000 verses in the Bible. So he says, I'm going to actually find this out. So on his 27th reading of the Bible from Genesis through Revelation, and a year and a half later, he noted 8,810 promises of God in the Bible. Almost 9,000. Now of those 9,000, 7,487 promises are directed towards mankind. So in God's word, there are just short of 7,500 promises that God makes to us that we can hold on to, that we can use to get us through difficult situations and even good situations. But think about that. Our Creator promises us 7,500 times that things are going to be okay, that he's got our back. That's the way I look at that. Now, throughout this series, we're going to be looking at some different promises that he gives us. We're going to look at heaven, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of success, the promise of provision. But today, we're going to look at the promise of our future. What does God see for our future? Where do we see our future? You see, God wants us to build our lives off of the promises in his word. And he wants us to use those promises found in his word to get us through each and every day. That's why it's so important, church, that we read the Bible, that we get to know his word, so that we can have those promises with us. You see, the thing about God's word, God's promises is, we can also use those to engage in conversation with God. Instead of having prayers with God like, oh, please, 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 God, please, please, please help me do good on this test. God, please, 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 please help me pass this interview. Please, 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 God. We can actually engage in conversation with him through his word. For instance, the psalmist said in Psalm 119, remember your promise to me. He's talking to God. It is my only hope. Your promise revives me. It comforts me in all my troubles. So the psalmist here is saying, God, remember your words, your promise, the things I've read. It's the only hope that I have. Sometimes that's all we got, right? It revives me, he said, and it comforts me. And then, when it comes to our future, God has promises for that too. And last week, we had a very special day at our next chapter Sunday, and I felt like that morning God spoke to me this specific promise. And then I was really thankful, but he was like, no, Chip. I mean, this is for you, but today, this promise is for Vineyard Community Church. But I'm here to tell you that not only is that promise for all of us as a church family, but it's for each one of us. And it's in Jeremiah chapter 29. For I know the plans I have for you, They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Remember that, church. Remember those words as we continue to talk this out this morning. God says, first of all, for this church, as we head into this next chapter of our history, of the leadership change, God says, Vineyard Community Church, I know the plans I have for you. They are for good, not bad. They are for a future and a hope. And he says that to each one of you too, today. Now, there's a psalm, again, one of my favorites. Psalm, every time, they're always my favorite. Every one of them is my favorite. Psalm 139, the entire psalm, talks about God's provision and God's protection for us, but there's a section in there. There's a section in there where God says, I knew you before you were formed in the womb. I knew you before you were formed in the womb. That's why we value life, because God knew us before we were formed. And he says, I knit your inner parts, I knit together. I made you. Before you were created, I knew you were going to be. And I had plans for you. I had a future and a hope for you before you were even born. However, there's kind of a little catch to this, almost like there is with everything. God gave us free will. It's one of the best gifts he's given human beings, but it can be a blessing and it can be a curse. Free will, meaning we can choose to follow his ways and we can choose to become a part of the plans that he has for us, or we can totally decline everything God has for us. The whole future God has for us, we can decline it. We can say, God, I don't want any part to do with you. He gives us that option. But we're going to look today at a guy by the name of Moses. And even if you're not a follower of Jesus, I'm pretty sure everybody's heard of Moses. He's a fairly popular guy from the Old Testament. But Moses, he chose to follow God's plan for his life instead of having what would have been a life of luxury. Moses had a life of luxury. Moses had everything right there he needed. But he chose to follow God's plan instead. See, Moses was an Israelite. He was Jewish. He was a Hebrew. I'll be using those three adjectives throughout the sermon today. They're all the same thing. He was Jewish. But he grew up as an Egyptian. And we're going to look at that a little bit. See, the Israelites had been in captivity as slaves under the rule of the Egyptians for 400 years. And it was Moses who led them out of captivity. This was a part of God's plan for Moses. This was a part of God's plan for his people. The Israelites were his chosen people, and they had been mistreated severely by the Egyptians for 400 years. But God had a plan for them. God had a plan for them. No matter how bad things were looking, he had a plan for them. God called Moses he said, you were going to call my people out from under the rule of Egypt, and you were going to go to a land called Canaan, which would later become known as Israel, which God referred to as the Promised Land. God had promised this land for his people earlier in life to a guy named Abraham, and then on down in generation of the Jewish people, they would hear about this promised land. Well, Moses was the guy to lead them there. But before they could enter the promised land, here's what God tells the Israelites. He says to Moses, I want you to tell my people this. And this is very important because it pertains to us as well when it comes to the outcome of our future. This is so important to us. So we're going to read a little passage in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we're going to read verses 15 and 16. Now they're getting ready. They're heading out to take this land. God says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. And then he goes on to say, if you don't choose me, here's what will happen. See, this is a promise that God gave the Israelites. And this very word holds true to us today. This is what we would call free will. God gives us the option to choose. I have set before you the option to choose. And in order for this promise to come to pass, for the Israelites and for us, we have to do the following. Here's what he was saying in here. I'll break it down for you. We have to love God with all our hearts. And we have to invite Jesus into our lives to be a part of our life, to be a part of who we are, to identify with Jesus. We have to obey his word, meaning we have to read the Bible and do what it says. If something jumps out at us that says you need to start doing this, or maybe you should stop doing that, we need to adhere to that. That's what it says. And then the obedience to this in his word needs to show in the way we live our lives. If we're going to read it and we're going to believe it, then we've got to live it. That's what God is saying here. And he's saying, if you do this, all the blessings I have for you, if you continue to read this chapter, all the blessings I have for you will come to fruition. See, God wants to live us, he wants us to live a life of success. That's what Jeremiah 29 is saying. I have plans for you. Plans to prosper, plans to be successful, plans to live up here, not down here. But it's up to us if we want his help. And a truly successful life is one that includes our Creator in the decisions that we make. God then goes on and he says, but if you don't do this, the short of it is, your life will end in disaster. It'll be a disaster. The choices we make today will determine where we will be in our future. If you show me, especially younger people, if you show me your core group of friends, the people you're tight with, the people you hang out with, and I get to know how they live their lives, I can show you, I can tell you where you'll be in 2 to 5 years. You either surrounding yourself with people who are going to take you down, or you're surrounding yourself with people who are going to take you up. I want to be around people who are going to challenge me, who are going to hold me accountable, who are going to help me get to where I want to be in life, to the next level. I don't want to hang around people who are going to bring me down. I'm of the age where I've already done that. And I myself want to be somebody who challenges people. I want to be that influence. But you see, even Moses had to make a choice. So you can say, well, that's really easy. I mean, Moses just did what God wanted him to do. Actually, Moses had a choice to make. Moses, he didn't have to do what God wanted him to do. But just so you're not taking my word for it, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read a little bit about Moses. And this chapter in Hebrews is known as the Hall of Faith. You know, we have the Football Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. God has a Hall of Faith, where some of the greatest people in the history of the Scriptures did great things because they listened to God's voice, and they chose to walk out the future that he had for them. So Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. So we're going to break this down a minute. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He kept his eyes on God. See, verse 23 is kind of a synopsis of the beginning of Moses' life. Okay, so the Israelites, they're slaves, they're captive to Egypt, but then they begin multiplying. See, God had a plan. They begin multiplying, and the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was like, oh, you know what? They could overtake us if they continue to multiply. So he put out an edict, and he said, all the firstborn Israel children, all the firstborn males, kill them. I don't want these people growing any bigger in number. Well, Moses' parents saw that he was a beautiful child. He was special. There's something about him. So they went ahead and kept him secret, his birth secret. And 3 months into his life, do you know how Moses started his third month in life? Being placed in a basket and sent up the Nile River. How's that? I mean, not everybody here has started out with the best hand in life, right? Well, maybe you can identify with Moses. 3 months old. Bye-bye, son. And then the Pharaoh's daughter, the king's daughter, sees this little baby coming down the river, and she falls in love with him, and she takes him up, and she raises him up. He's a Jewish boy, raised in the king's house, Egypt, enemies of the Israelites. Well, verse 24 tells us that when Moses comes of age, by faith, when Moses comes of age, he refuses to be called an Egyptian, and he suffers for it. He suffered the affliction of his people because he refused to be called an Egyptian. First of all, again, he did not ask to be put in this situation. He didn't ask for it. His parents made a choice, trusting God to put him in this situation. Can you imagine that, moms and dads? Think about the faith, probably mixed with a little bit of fear, but mostly faith, to do that with their firstborn son. God, we know you've got our best interest and his best interest in mind. And do you know what this is just me working these out in my head as I'm reading this and thinking about it. I hear God whispering to that baby, for I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not destruction. When you're going through a hard time, when life seems to be just crushing you, God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans of good, not disaster. God doesn't bring disaster upon us. God doesn't bring bad things upon us. God brings blessings and healings and provision and promises. God has a future for us that is hopeful and good. And he's whispering that to Moses as he's going down the Nile River, or up. I think the Nile River runs north, right? I mean, I think this is a classic example for some people who just have a hard time in life because it didn't start out the way they wanted it to. And it didn't end up the way they wanted it to. And because of that, there were all kinds of things that seemed to just go against you. And maybe you blame God for it. Maybe you blame your surroundings for it. Maybe there's a void in your life because of it. And if that speaks to you, I'm here to tell you today, you are not here by accident. You are here to hear this message that God says to you today, I have a future for you of good and not disaster, of hope. I don't want you anymore to be feeling down, to be feeling left out, to be feeling like everything is stacked against you. Moses had to lead 2 million-ish people out from under the rule of Egypt. And you know what they did the whole time? They complained. Moses didn't have it easy, but he walked out the future that God had for him. Moses made a choice to identify with the Jewish heritage that he knew that he had and the living God that they served, and he begins to serve. You know, it says he came of age when this happened. So he's what, 12, 13, 15 maybe? Think about the peer pressure that he went through. What do you mean you're Jew? You know, think about his friends who now probably said, oh, my mom and dad said I can't hang out with you now, Moses. You're making bad choices. I can't be with you. I mean, 12, 13, 15, that's not an easy age for boys or anybody really. But Moses made a decision. I mean, he could have just faked it, right? Late at night, listen, God, I know I'm Jewish, but I'm living in the king's house, and if I identify with you, God, with my Jewish heritage, then the kids are going to make fun of me, and I'm not going to have any friends, and my dad might kick me out of the house, my you know, where the people who've raised me, and God, it's just between you and me, God. Let's just do it like this. That's not going to get you anywhere. Moses took a stand. At an early age, it says, when he came of age, he didn't cave to peer pressure. He didn't cave to social media pressure. And he did not let anybody around him choose his identity for him. He identified with the fact that he is Jewish and he serves a living God. That's who he made a chance to identify. That's who he made the choice to identify with. And I think that this is a very important part, if not the most important part, of the process to allowing God to work out the plans that he has for us for our future, to fulfill the plans that he has for us. If we don't find our identity in Jesus, our future is not going to be the one that Jesus has for us. So Moses, at an early age, chose not to conform to the ways of the world around him, but to allow God's Spirit to transform his mind into the things of God, the ways of God, so that Moses knew what the good and perfect and acceptable will of God is. Moses did not allow the world to tell him who he was. That's not easy. It's not easy for young people. It's not even easy for adults sometimes. Instead, he allowed God's Spirit to transform him into the person that he was created to be. And then by doing so, he walked out the will of God for his life. By allowing God's Spirit to transform his way of thinking, he became a kingdom-minded person. And he was able to walk out the promises and plans that God had for his future. And if we want God's promise for a successful future, we cannot allow anyone to define who we are. And then going back to that passage in Deuteronomy where we get to choose, we have free will to choose God, to choose Jesus, or to choose the world, to choose the influence of those around us. We have to make a choice to allow Jesus into our lives in order for the future plans he has for us to be fulfilled. And this is what allows Jesus to take us, to walk us down the path that he created for us. Now, the end result of not choosing Jesus is destruction. It might not happen in your lifetime, or it could, and things spiral out of control, and hopefully somewhere in that spiral you call out to Jesus and he's going to be there for you right there. He's going to pull you out of it. But if you have the most successful life that the world sees and you don't choose Jesus, you're not going to heaven. Doesn't matter how many things you support and good things you support and hungry children you feed, if you don't choose Jesus, doesn't mean anything in the end. Now, just real quick, that one verse is a little confusing. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. Well, that could be read like this. Moses thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. Moses thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ. He gave up everything that people spend a lifetime to go after. He gave up fame, fortune, possessions, power. He grew up in the king's, the Pharaoh's household. And if we don't decide for ourselves what our values in life are, then somebody else will decide it for us. And Jesus himself said, "What good is it if you gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? Is nothing more valuable than your soul?" Those are the red letters. That was Jesus that said that. So I'll wrap it up with this. In closing, my 120-second synopsis of the sermon. When it comes to fulfilling God's promises for our future, we must first understand that the choices we make determine where we will be. And when we choose Jesus, I'm saying when, we choose Jesus, the plans he ordained for us long before we were born can begin to come to fruition. You know what? Here's another thing. It's never too late. It's never too late. God you might have many, many years ahead of you, or maybe you're like, it's too late for me. No, it isn't. God can fast track you where he wants you to be. He'll get you where he wants you to be. Because the most important place he wants you to be is in his arms, in his presence. That's the most important thing. Moses found his identity in God, and from there was able to withstand all the affliction and suffering that the world sent his way. He found his identity in God. When you become comfortable with who you are in your faith in Jesus, nothing the world throws at you is going to knock you down. Because Jesus will protect you, he'll provide for you, he'll give you hope, he'll give you a peace, he'll give you everything you need. Just like that psalmist said, "God, you are my only hope in trouble." And then because of Moses' choice, the rewards he gained were far greater than anything the world has to offer. But it came at a cost. He had to give up the riches, the luxury of living in the king's household. When we choose Jesus, we often have to give up some things that we're doing. The world will say, "Boy, that's really dumb." But Jesus says, "You're gaining it all." And once we say yes to Jesus, we begin to find out where our true identity is, who we were really created to be. And this in turn helps us focus more on the aspects, the important aspects of life, and it allows Jesus to fulfill the plans that he ordained for our future, plans of hope and success, plans of peace and not destruction. God wants nothing but the best for our future, and the only way to receive that is to say yes to Jesus and the plans that he has laid out for us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for your word, for the peace that you give us, God. Helping us to identify with you, Lord Jesus, and not with our surroundings, God. Helping us to surround us, Lord Jesus, with kingdom-minded people, God, to keep us in your hands, in your realm of protection and provision, God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for anybody here that can identify with Moses. Oh, my goodness. I didn't ask for this. Well, Moses didn't either. He made a conscious choice to choose God. And so as we move into an area of worship here, I just ask that you would invite Jesus into your life and help him to make the decisions that you need to make. Ask him, Lord God, can you give me a promise? Can you show me something that pertains to me? And I believe with all my heart, he's going to speak to you today. So we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.